What if you could, like, fast forward a year, get a sneak peek at what's coming? Things change so fast, especially technology, right? Feels like the future arrives before you've even finished your coffee sometimes. Well, welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take that stack of sources you have and really unpack the important stuff, the key insights. Today, we are diving deep into The World Ahead 2025. It's a special issue from The Economist magazine. Our mission basically is to pull out the most intriguing predictions. We're looking especially at technology, science, and the global economy for the year ahead. Think of it as your shortcut to knowing what's likely on the horizon. Now, these articles came out late 2024, so they offer this really fascinating glimpse into what the experts were thinking about 2025 across, well, pretty much everywhere. Okay, let's get into this. I'm really curious about what 2025 might hold. You know, AI's impact, shifts in global trade maybe. It feels a bit like looking into a crystal ball, but, you know, one based on actual data.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating, I think, isn't just the predictions themselves. It's how interconnected everything seems to be. We'll see things like falling interest rates maybe affecting your shopping habits directly, or, you know, how geopolitical tensions could literally shake up commodity markets in ways you might not expect. It really paints this picture of all these forces kind of shaping our world, often just below the surface.
Okay, let's start with the big picture then, the economic landscape.
Yeah.
The overall forecast for 2025, it's pretty modest world GDP growth, just 2.5%. That sounds, well, steady, I guess, not spectacular. But what's the real story behind that number? Does it hide something more complex?
Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah, 2.5% global growth sounds simple, but the real insight here is the huge regional differences it masks. You've got Europe strengthening apparently, but then emerging markets might stay pretty flat. They seem to be struggling with this mix of trade barriers, climate change hitting them, and technological hurdles too. So it's not just slow growth everywhere. It's more like a multi-speed world economy emerging. One bright spot, though, across this varied picture is lower inflation that's predicted. And that should encourage central banks like America's Federal Reserve to, you know, cut interest rates a bit more.
Right. So if inflation cools down, interest rates drop. What does that actually mean for us, for consumers? Do the sources suggest we'll all just be rushing back to the stores? Or are there maybe hidden downsides?
Well, that's a really important point. Lower rates should encourage spending, yes. But the articles also flagged that, you know, high interest rates we've already had, plus existing credit card debt,
Yeah.
that's still going to hold some people back, especially on discretionary spending. We might even see some store networks like Family Dollar apparently shrink because of it.
Okay.
However, for people maybe less burdened by debt, yeah, lower rates will likely prompt more shopping, leading to a global retail sales volume expansion of over 2% in 2025,
2%.
which interestingly would be the fastest growth since way back in 2021.
So, not quite smooth sailing then. More of an uneven recovery in retail.
Exactly. It's nuanced.
Makes sense. And speaking of economic jitters, the articles also point to housing markets. Big concerns there worldwide. Even with the falling rates, they mention a massive, what, $2.1 trillion of property loans maturing globally?
Yeah.
And three quarters of that is in America alone. That sounds like a lot.
It is. It's a huge figure.
And house prices are generally high, though China's might dip about 4%, despite government efforts there.
That's the prediction, yeah. They're trying to stabilize the sector, but it's proving tricky.
And then in the EU, these energy-saving targets are going to bite. Older buildings needing retrofits or becoming, what do they call them? Stranded assets. But exactly does stranded assets mean here? And are certain types of properties more vulnerable?
Right, stranded assets. In this context, it's basically properties that lose a lot of value because they don't meet the new environmental or energy standards. They become really expensive or just difficult to sell or rent out. So, yeah, it points to a very complex year for global real estate. The sources don't drill down massively into specifics beyond, you know, China's dip and Europe's retrofit challenge, but just the sheer volume of those maturing loans, especially in the US, it suggests a widespread tightening. Maybe commercial properties, particularly those with heavy leverage, could face the biggest crunch.
Okay, so from bricks and mortar, let's shift to digital money. This is where 2025 seems really fascinating.
Yeah.
The sources say cash is, well, definitely not king anymore. By 2025, we're looking at maybe 2 billion credit cards globally. But only 3 million cash machines. That's quite a ratio.
It really is stark, isn't it?
And the lines between old school banks and fintechs, they're blurring even more. New digital banks popping up in the Philippines, Spain's BBVA launching one in
Yeah,
Germany,
the landscape's changing fast.
and Brazil's pushing ahead with its own central bank digital currency, Drex. The EU's deciding on a digital euro. But here's the kicker. Despite all this digital buzz, the U.S. dollar is still projected to stay dominant. It's kind of defying China's efforts to boost the yuan internationally. Why is that? Why is the dollar's grip so strong amidst all this change?
Well, that's a great question. And it's not just inertia, I think. It really speaks to the power of trust, liquidity, and just the established financial plumbing of the world. Even these groundbreaking digital shifts, they struggle against these deeply embedded global systems where the dollar is just, well, it's the default.
The default, right.
For trade, for debt, for reserves. So yeah, digital currencies are rising, definitely. But initially, it looks like they're carving out niches, you know, not really displacing the main pillars of the financial order, at least not in 2025.
Interesting. Okay, so that discussion about digital money leaves us nicely into the wider tech landscape. How deep is tech, especially AI, going to embed itself next year? The sources talk about a craze for artificial intelligence, driving IT spending up 8% for $3.6 trillion.
Trillion, yeah. It's staggering.
And about 30% of large American firms are expected to invest $10 million or more in AI. That's a big jump from 16% in 2024.
Huge jump.
And for us consumers, Apple's bringing its AI tools, Apple Intelligence, to more iPhones. So that's a lot of money, a lot of integration. But
yeah.
Is all this investment actually paying off? Is it working?
Well, that is the multi-trillion dollar question, isn't it? And there's a really arresting insight here from Gartner, the consultancy firm. They predict that a full 30% of generative AI projects, they won't even pass the proof of concept stage.
30%? Wow. Why?
Mostly due to daunting costs and just uncertain benefits.
Yeah.
It suggests this current AI craze. It's not just about spending money. It's really a critical test of whether it's practical, whether it actually delivers value.
So a lot of the hype might be premature.
That's what it implies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real tangible ROI might be further down the road than many people think. Meanwhile, regulators are definitely circling. Parts of the EU's AI Act are coming into effect. The African Union is trying to hammer out a common AI strategy too. So the governance aspect is catching up.
Right. And beyond the software side, chip-making rivalries seem set to really heat up. NVIDIA defending its turf against competitors like ARM and Google.
Exactly. Big players vying for position.
And governments are getting heavily involved, trying to attract chip manufacturing, right, to protect supply chains. We see TSMC from Taiwan hoping to open its first U.S. plant, Micron, making chips in India.
Yeah, it's becoming a major geopolitical issue, securing chip supply.
And on a totally different tech front, 2025 is the UN's International Year of Quantum Science and Technology. Quantum computers, they could be millions of times faster, theoretically. But the article suggests, what, it's a slow path to actually using them widely.
It absolutely is. It's a good reminder, you know. Even the most revolutionary tech takes time. Quantum's pushing boundaries, no doubt, but technical hurdles, the infrastructure needed, it's immense. It's a long runway.
Okay. And thinking about our daily digital lives, 5G subscriptions are set to surge, over 25% growth, reaching 2.8 billion globally.
Yeah.
And 5G phones making up 3/4 of smartphone sales.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth noting, coverage is still patchy, isn't it? Especially in places like Africa.
Very patchy in some regions, yeah. The rollout hasn't been uniform at all.
And our international connectivity, all those subsea cables.
Mm-hmm.
They're facing risks from conflicts.
They are, yeah. It's prompted governments like France and Vietnam to actually invest in securing those links. It's critical infrastructure.
And looking up, maybe satellite internet, companies like OneWeb, Starlink, could they help?
They could offer more options, definitely. Provided governments sort out the spectrum allocation in time. That's always the bottleneck.
Right. This makes me wonder, how do all these fast-moving tech trends connect with, well, the big environmental goals, the green shift. Is technology helping that shift or maybe hindering it in some ways?
That's a crucial connection to make. And it's, well, it's a mixed bag, honestly. Governments are pushing these big green schemes. Renewable electricity will surge. Wind and solar are expected to deliver about a sixth of all electricity.
Okay, a sixth.
And we'll see examples like that huge solar farm in Gujarat, India, supplying like 4% of the country's power. Zambia building solar mini grids, Texas getting its first geothermal plant online.
Right.
And nuclear's part of the mix too. China, India, South Korea, Turkey. They're switching on new reactors. Global total hitting 447.
Okay, so lots of green activity, but what's the however?
The however is, well, if you connect it to the bigger picture, despite that surge in renewables, fossil fuels are still predicted to supply over four-fifths of global energy needs in 2025.
Four-fifths still, wow.
Yeah, and overall energy consumption is set to rise to a record level. 14.5 trillion tons of oil equivalent. Carbon emissions predicted to be 1.7 times what they were back in 1990.
That's quite sobering, isn't it? Despite all the green targets, the breakthroughs.
It really highlights the sheer scale of the challenge. It's enormous.
It's not just adding new stuff, it's shifting this massive existing system. Okay, what about transport? Electric vehicles, EVs, they're a bright spot for car makers, right? Sales up by a quarter.
Yep. A definite bright spot. China is expected to generate half the world's EV sales, companies like BYD expanding globally.
But if there's such a bright spot, why are people still hesitant? What holds buyers back, pushing them to plugless models?
Well, the sources really point to two main things. Range anxiety and high prices.
Still
the key deterrents, yeah. The tech's getting better fast, but charging infrastructure isn't always there, everywhere. And the upfront cost is still a barrier for lots of people.
Makes sense.
Efforts to cut emissions do continue, though. Norway's aiming for all new cars to be emission-free by 2025. That's ambitious.
Fair.
And cities like Stockholm bringing in zero-emission zones. But complicating things, you've got higher tariffs, local content rules for China's EVs that makes green car plans trickier.
Right.
And it's not just cars. Shipping, aviation, they're facing green pressure, too. The EU's emissions trading system starts covering shippers more from 2025, airlines pledging cuts. It's a complex transition, lots of innovation, but significant hurdles too. More evolution than sudden revolution.
It's fascinating though, how this green push is literally changing the price of the ground beneath our feet. Environmental goals stimulating massive infrastructure spending. What, nearly $28 trillion? A quarter of global GDP.
Yeah, the numbers are huge. Huge investment in green infrastructure, digital networks, especially in Europe and China.
But does this surge in demand for metals, you know, for batteries, cables, everything, does that carry risks too? Like new supply chain problems or even more geopolitical jostling for resources?
That's an excellent question. And yeah, absolutely. These green policies are predicted to drive global metals prices up about 7.5%. Demand's growing for everything from copper and steel to iron ore and aluminum.
Right.
And that increased demand, inevitably, it puts pressure on supply chains. It could definitely spark more competition for key mining areas, making those resources vulnerable to, well, geopolitics or just natural disruptions.
So from batteries to buildings.
Yeah.
It really is all connected.
It is, but the connections aren't always smooth sailing.
Okay, let's talk about three specific commodities the sources flag as being particularly volatile. Apparently, most food commodities should get cheaper in 2025 as supplies improve. The EIU's index is meant to dip quite a bit from its 2022 peak, but some breakfast items are exceptions. First up, orange juice.
Ah, yes, OJ.
Brazil accounts for, what, 70% of global production? And they've had crippling drought and this incurable disease, citrus greening.
Yeah, it's been brutal for them. Broke records for orange juice futures prices.
And prices are expected to stay high for years. So, yeah, your morning OJ might cost a bit more.
Unfortunately, yes. And that's not the only breakfast staple under pressure.
Don't tell me, coffee.
Coffee on the list too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Arabica bean prices hit a decade high. Frost in Brazil was a factor. And then droughts in Vietnam, which is the biggest grower of Robusta beans. That made things worse.
Oh, dear.
Plus, shipping problems linked to the Red Sea attacks added even more pressure.
So, higher prices and potentially blander coffee.
That's the forecast, yeah.
Yeah.
Might taste a bit different.
Higher prices and blander flavor. That's almost cruel. Monday mornings in 2025 might be tough.
Might have to switch to tea. Or water.
Maybe. But the third commodity is, well, far more essential and slightly more radioactive, uranium.
Uranium.
Demand's expected to go up, as nuclear plays a bigger role, especially in China and India, aiming for that reliable, low-carbon power.
Mm-hmm. Nuclear is definitely back on the agenda in many places.
But supply looks shaky. Kazatomprom, the big producer in Kazakhstan, trimmed its output.
Yep, produces about a fifth of global supply.
And Russia, holding almost half the world's enrichment capacity, they've hinted at limiting exports because of sanctions.
That's a huge wild card. Logistics, geopolitics. The sources say it could cause a meltdown in the market for uranium, metaphorically speaking, hopefully.
Let's hope. But it raises that question again, doesn't it? Why are these specific things, OJ, coffee, uranium, so vulnerable?
It really just underscores how global events, whether it's climate change hitting crops or geopolitical tensions disrupting supply chains, how they can have such a direct, magnified impact on our daily lives, right down to the breakfast table or the power grid. These aren't just isolated price blips. They're symptoms of these deeply interconnected global systems really being under stress.
Okay, so beyond the economy and tech, let's look at the global chessboard, geopolitics. What do the experts predict there for 2025? Even if no new major conflicts erupt, existing tensions are still expected to weigh on the global economy.
Yeah, that seems unavoidable.
Wars in Ukraine, Lebanon, Gaza, they'll continue stoking demand for weapons, leading to uneven defense spending increases around the world. China's navy likely to keep skirmishing in Asian waters, prompting responses from the Philippines, Australia, Japan, boosting their own defense.
Right, a continued focus on maritime security in that region.
And America deploying its hypersonic missile. What are the sort of broader implications of all these ongoing tensions?
Well, fundamentally, they create significant uncertainty. That's bad for investment, bad for trade. Resources get diverted to defense that could maybe be used elsewhere for economic development or social programs. And the increased defense spending itself, while it might boost certain industries, it signals a more volatile, less predictable world. Stability just can't be taken for granted.
Right. Okay, and finally, let's touch on U.S. policy and its global impact, especially regarding tech leadership. The articles mention how a new U.S. administration could affect things. Potential tariffs, maybe 60% on imports from China, mass deportations, tax cuts.
Yeah, standard political possibilities depending on outcomes.
But what really jumped out at me was this idea that the focus might actually be on deregulating, on reinventing government itself, specifically to speed up the adoption of cutting-edge tech, like biotech and AI. It feels like an unexpected connection, doesn't it? Government reform being key to leading in radical new technologies.
It really is an interesting angle. And if you connect it to the bigger picture, the sources strongly suggest this. They argue that extending America's lead in AI, well, that would do far more for its future prosperity and security than almost anything else on the agenda.
More than tariffs, for example.
Potentially, yeah. It highlights just how strategically vital technological advancement is now in this shifting global landscape. Your ability to innovate and deploy cutting-edge tech, that's becoming a primary measure of national power.
Fascinating. A different kind of arms race, almost.
In a way, yes. And on a slightly darker note, related to tech, the articles also predict cyber assaults on critical infrastructure will multiply. Hundreds of millions expected in 2025. It's pushing the UN to work harder on getting a cybercrime treaty sorted out.
A grim but important point. Okay, well, that brings us towards the end of our deep dive into the world ahead, 2025. We've covered quite a bit. Traversed the economic landscape, plunged into tech innovation, explored the green transition's complexities, and even looked at what might make your coffee more expensive or maybe blander.
We covered a lot of ground.
Hopefully you listening now have a clearer picture of these interconnected forces at play. You know, from central bank decisions maybe shaping your wallet to regulatory shifts affecting what's on your plate or powering your home. So as 2025 unfolds, maybe keep an eye on how these predicted trends play out. Do they accelerate? Do they shift? Will that AI push outpace the rules trying to govern it? Will the green transition really start detaching us from fossil fuels, or will energy demands just keep soaring? And of course, what about the unforeseen events, the things not captured in these predictions? How might they reshape the world ahead? Keep asking those questions. Keep digging deeper. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We really hope this exploration has given you a bit of a head start in understanding the powerful forces at work in the year to come.